All right. Well, let's open our Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy. That's where we're going to start, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I wanted to spend a little bit of time this morning looking at grace, the grace of God. One of the things that you see in God's Word is that grace of God really has nothing to do, or when it's understood, I should say, it really has nothing to do with the flesh, has nothing to do with works. And one of the things that you see from time to time is when Christians can't simply enjoy the grace of God that's been demonstrated and given in Jesus Christ out of concern for their flesh. Do you understand? What God has accomplished in Christ is a gift. And what God has accomplished in Christ and what He's given is a much bigger picture than your weakness, your lack of strength in areas. It's so much bigger what's been given. And the more that we understand the grace of God, the more we rely on God and the less we rely on us. The less I rely on my abilities, on my flesh. Do you understand that? I rely more and more on God. But I wanted to start here in 2 Timothy. It's really a wonderful verse. This is addressed to Timothy, who was in quite a situation. He was in Asia, and by this time, most had turned away from the gospel. And he was in it was a rough situation. And chapter 2 here opens with, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the what? Grace. In the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, isn't that something? What a great use of words. Strong in what?
Grace.
Grace. That is in Christ Jesus. See? To be strong in grace. Grace, its basic meaning is gift. It's a gift. It's unmerited. It's unearned. And the grace that he is being encouraged to be strong in here is that grace that's in who?
Christ
Jesus. That's right. I want you to turn to Romans, please. We're going to go to Romans chapter 1. Romans is... And I think many of you know this, it's the foundational epistle to the church. It is the foundational doctrine addressed to the church. And in verse 1, it opens, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which," verse 2, "he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures." See, this gospel had been prophesied of concerning his son. Jesus Christ our Lord is not in, I don't believe it's in any critical Greek text. But at any rate, he is our Lord. But concerning his son, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared or marked out to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the what? By the resurrection from the dead. That's what marked him out. Verse 5, by whom, Jesus Christ, we have received grace and apostleship for the purpose being obedience to the believing, the faith, among all nations for his name, among whom ye also are ye also the called of or in Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ that carried out what God needed carried out for man's redemption. It was by the grace of God that God sent his Son to pay the price for all of mankind on our behalf. This whole thing started with what? With grace. It was the grace of God. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. We're just going to read a few things here in Romans. It's kind of hard to pick out verses because it's like once you get going, it's just... Anyway. Let's start in verse 21. It says, but now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested or evident or made clear, being witnessed or testified to by the law and the prophets. Okay? We just read in Romans 1 that gospel was prophesied of before. See? This righteousness of God that we're reading about now was testified to or witnessed to by the what? By the law and the prophets. See? It was the law that pointed out the need for the Savior. And the law was a shadow. Everything that was done in the law, all the sacrifices, all the atonement was done with blood, all pointing to what the Christ would do one day. See? So, here's the righteousness of God. It was testified to. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith or believing of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. There's no difference. The thing that is required is what? Believing. That's what's required. Nothing else enters into this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isn't that something? All. There's no difference. Your background, your whatever, has nothing to do with anything. You came short of the glory of God. I came short of the glory of God. Right? Doesn't matter. Maybe in the flesh, I was worse than you. Or maybe you were worse than me. Makes no difference. We were all dead. Right? That's right. And it makes no difference because of God's grace who this righteousness is going to be available to. Only one thing's required. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in who? Christ Jesus, see? We were justified freely. And this word freely, it literally means without a cause. That's what it means. Without a cause. It's the exact same word that's used in the Gospels regarding Jesus Christ. The fulfilling of the scripture which said, they hated me without a cause. That's something. All Jesus Christ did was help. All Jesus Christ did was heal. All Jesus Christ did was love. But they hated him without a cause, without a reason. We were justified. You know what justified means? It means to be made righteous. You know what righteous means? It means you are without guilt before God. Why? Because you believed. Okay. And that is available because of God's grace. Isn't that something? This is just awesome. Without a cause. For that redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And you know that redemption, you understand what that means, is to buy back. See? The price that was paid by the Lord Jesus Christ was that which was required to buy back that which had been lost. See? Whom? This Jesus Christ, or this Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, meaning a full payment, the place of atonement, through believing in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he, God, might be just. That he might be just or righteous. And that he might be the one who makes righteous. Ha! Him that believes in Jesus. Isn't that something? God is righteous. He's just. God defines justice. That's why only he can determine what is justice. Man talks about justice. Man tries to, you know, man ain't too bright sometimes. But God defines justice, see? And he is the one that makes righteous. And God has said it is by believing in Jesus Christ. Man will come up with different standards of justice. They'll come up with different things. They'll come up with things you need to do or things you don't do. That's man. Sometimes men just want to feel good about themselves. But this is justice from God's viewpoint. Isn't that simple? It's by believing. It's by believing. And the more you understand this, the less weight you put on you. The less weight you put on your flesh. It's pretty awesome. Verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Where's boasting then? It's gone. Right? By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of what?
Believing.
Isn't that something? By the law of believing. You know, Romans 4 goes on to talk about how, and we'll read a few verses, how that it's always been by believing. It's always been about believing with God. And grace. That grace of God has always been exhibited. Even in the Old Testament. Let's go to Romans chapter 4, and we're just going to read a few verses here. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Now you got to understand, this is really beautiful. It goes on to describe something, because to the Judean mind, Abraham was everything. Abraham was everything. He was their father. He was everything. Okay? Verse 2, if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to boast, glory or boast, but not before God. So what says the scripture? Abraham what? He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Isn't that something? Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of what?
Debt.
But of debt. See? But of debt. There you have it. That's the opposite. By works is the opposite of grace. Isn't that something? Here you have it in one verse. Boy, somebody's having fun down there, huh? Let's go to verse Okay. Let's go to verse 1 of chapter 5. You know what? I'm going to pick it up in 4:23. Okay, 4:22. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. That believing, and what Abraham believed and what he was fully persuaded of was the seed, that promised seed, Christ. It spells that out in Galatians. See? And it was that believing on the Christ that God would bring to pass and that it would come through him, God counted it to him for righteousness. You and I look back on who?
Jesus Christ.
And God counts it to us for what?
Righteousness.
Isn't that beautiful? See? So that's why it goes on to say, look, it wasn't written for his sake alone. It wasn't written for his sake alone in verse 23. That it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our what? For our justification. See? Isn't that something? Therefore, being justified by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by the believing into this grace wherein we stand and boast in hope of the glory of God. See? We stay put. We stay put in this grace. That's where we are because we believed on Jesus Christ. This is a whole new thing. We went from no hope to a hope that is so awesome, it just it explodes brain cells trying to figure it out. See? We've gone from dead to life. Isn't that something? We've gone from natural man to a son of God with the Spirit of God. Boom! All by the grace of God. See? And what I did had nothing to do with it. I just simply believed on Jesus Christ. This whole thing is grace. It's the grace of God. Now, with those things in mind, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And then we're just going to look at a few more verses about this grace and applying it. Everything's changed. Everything's new. We stay put. We stand in this grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, this is pretty awesome. Where do I start? Oh, my goodness. All right. Verse 14 of chapter 5. For the love of Christ. The love of Christ constrains. It motivates us. The love of Christ constrains us because we thus judge. That if one died for all, then we're all what? All dead. In Romans, we all came short of what? That's right. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after or according to the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh or according to the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. That's the context. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, and it should read, behold, the new is come. Okay. The old is past, the new is come. That's right. And all things are of God. All what things are of God?
New things.
New things. Context. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, We are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that awesome? He made Christ to be sin for us. And it's just a beautiful way of saying he paid the price. He paid it that we might be made the righteousness of God. You see the grace here? Why would I ever want to leave that? Why would I ever want to leave believing on Christ, looking to Christ, leave that and start to work for what God has given me? Why would I want to do that? Because if I'm looking at my flesh, if I'm focused on my flesh, if it's about my flesh, how can I enjoy that which God has accomplished for me in Christ? How do I get to the place where I rely on God and look to Him? See? That's grace. That's what grace looks like when it's understood and lived. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. You know, I used to have, you know, for quite a while, quite an immature view of what grace was. Grace was that which covered for my being an idiot. You know, grace is that which allowed me to get away with being an idiot. You know, it's grace. It's great. Yeah. But the more I grew and began to understand who Jesus Christ was, and the more I began to love the Lord Jesus Christ, I started to realize, wow, I really was an idiot. See? And I started to realize that grace is what enables me to walk with my Heavenly Father. It's that grace that shows me I can't do it. I can't. And so the more I realize that, the more I see that, the more I then rely on God. I just look to Him. Because I don't know. I don't. But so often I just don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know. But you know who does? God does. And the more you understand grace and what it really is, the more confident you are in relying on Him. And that you will have what you need. You will have what you need when you need it. Isn't that awesome? It's just because He's such a gracious God. See, 1 Corinthians 15. This is so awesome. He talks about these who have seen Jesus Christ in His resurrected body. In verse 8 it says, "And last of all, He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I," and it was that this one born out of due time is like an abnormal birth. That's something. "For I am the least of the apostles, for I am not adequate or qualified," that's that word me, "to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I what? I am what I am. And that grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all." See? "I labored more abundantly than all of them. But then it says, yet not I, but the what?
Grace.
The grace of God." Isn't that something? Paul worked. Oh, he worked to make known Jesus Christ, to make known this administration of grace that we live in. He worked. But who did he rely on? He relied on God. It was God working in him. Isn't that something? See? That's the thing. He relied on God. And that which he did, the work that he did, God was in it. Because of God's grace. That's what grace looks like. Isn't that cool? Let's read a couple more. 2 Corinthians 9. See, that flesh had nothing to do with it. It was grace. That's how Paul did what he did. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is really something. This is a verse, and in its context, it's talking about giving. And this verse is often relegated to simply the financial realm or whatever. But it's so much bigger than that. It's so much bigger than that. And God is able. Well, you know what? Let's start in verse 6. This I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not out of grief or of necessity, for God what? He loves a cheerful giver. You know what makes you a cheerful giver? Grace. Understanding grace. That's what makes you a cheerful giver. Because who gave to me? Who gave to you? Isn't that simple? That makes you a cheerful giver. When this starts to click and you get it, say, oh, I got everything I have by grace. See it? And then all of a sudden, my giving is just like, I can do this. I can do this. And God is able to make all grace abound toward who? That you always, how often? Having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to be able to pay every bill. That what it says? No, it's bigger than that, isn't it? May abound to every good work. See? To every good work, or in every good work. That's how it should read. You abound in it. See? Because of God's grace. You're relying on God. You're not relying on you, on your abilities, on your flesh. You're relying on God. That's what grace looks like when it's understood. See? It's just so awesome. Let's go to... there's one more I want to read in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. Yes. This was a situation, there's a lot of context to what we're going to read here. In a nutshell, Satan was constantly throwing things in the way to prevent Paul from doing, or to put obstacles there. And you can read about those in chapter 11. Night and day have I spent in the deep. Thrice I was beaten with rods, and so on. Thrown in prison, and all these things. And he asked that this be removed, this thorn in the flesh. And this is so awesome. Verse 8 says this: for this thing I besought the Lord thrice or three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my what?
Grace.
My grace is sufficient. Now, the word sufficient in English, it's like, it was sufficient. That's not what this word means. It's not like, eh. It's like, whatever you need is there. Whatever it is. No matter the amount. Do you understand? That's this word. My grace is enough. It's enough. Isn't that something? It's enough. And then, 4, my strength is made perfect in what? See what grace looks like? This is what it looks like. The strength that comes from being in Christ, from being who God has made you because you believed on Jesus Christ, is made perfect when you are what? When you're not relying on you. Isn't that something? That's what Paul got to. You know? That's what it got to. It probably asked himself the question, I don't know how much more I can take. You ever been there? You ever hear such a thing? Sure. See, but this is what grace looks like. You're not looking at how much you're taking. You're looking at how much is being supplied so that you can do what you need to do. That's grace. Pretty awesome, isn't it? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity that the power of Christ may what? Rest upon me. Isn't that beautiful? We're almost done. I want you to turn to Galatians real quick. These saints in Galatia were dealing with some things, and there were folks that came in and tried to bring them back out of the bondage of the law. And in verse 21, it says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is what? Dead in vain. See, in Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. To frustrate the grace of God would be to do things on your own. To add addendums onto what's been accomplished in Christ. I want to show you one more in Galatians, in chapter 5. This is kind of neat. We're going to start in verse 1. I wanted to read this because it is a phrase that we use today that means the opposite of what it's saying here. Have you ever heard the phrase, you've fallen from grace? You know, that means you have fallen out of favor. You have fallen out of favor because of something that you did or didn't do. That's how we use it today. Isn't that something? Yeah, he fell from grace. Be good to him on the way up, because you're going to meet him on the way down. Right? Anyway. Verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, in the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And what bondage it is to rely on your flesh, isn't it? Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified or made righteous by the law. You are fallen from grace. How is it used here? Is it that you've fallen out of favor of God? No. What it means is you started relying on you and works, and you have fallen away from that grace that God made available in Christ Jesus and the accompanying freedom and liberty. Isn't that something? And they started looking to their flesh. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, and then we'll close in Hebrews. I've got to read this. This is like a grace waterfall. Verse 1, and really it should read, even you who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. The children of disobedience are those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, among whom also we all had our conversation or manner of living in time past, in the lusts or the desires of the flesh and of the mind, because there was nothing else. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It's kind of neat phrasing here that's used. But anyway, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ. For by grace are you what? And hath raised us up together and made to sit together in the heavenlies in Christ. And here's why. Here's the point. That in the ages to come, he might show or exhibit, demonstrate, display the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in, that should read, Christ Jesus. Isn't that something? That's the point. The point of the grace is so that he could exhibit the riches of his grace for all of eternity. Ah! That's grace. Isn't that awesome? That's grace. See? He's the God of it. For by grace are you saved through believing, that not of yourselves. It is the what? It's the gift of God. It's a gift. It's a gift. Now let's close in Hebrews. Hebrews 4. And it's when we understand this grace. You know, the time in which we live is called the administration of grace. It's named grace. And what time do you live in, grace? It's kind of neat. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's start in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. It means confession. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What this means is, it's kind of a, it's stating it from the negative, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But it basically means he is, we have a high priest who is, he's not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. See? Because Jesus Christ was a man who was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without what? That's right. He's been there. He's done it. See? He knows about the flesh. He knows about it. That's why when we got born again, God didn't even try and fix it. He said it's dead. It's dead. We're starting over. Yeah. We're starting over. It's new. See? And we'll have that new body at the return of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Anyway. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, because of this, come boldly unto the throne of what? Grace. Isn't that something? That seat of authority is called what? Grace. See? We come boldly. And that word boldly is, it really means just plainness of speech. Just talk. He's your Lord. He died for you. He died for you. Okay? Isn't that something? So we come with great plainness of speech to that throne of grace that we might find grace and what?
Mercy.
You know? Sometimes we bring stuff on ourselves. That's mercy. Right? Sure. Grace and mercy to help. Or to, how does it go? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See? We come to that throne of grace. And I think I've shared this with you before, you know, that word help, it's a word that it's to frap. What they would do is they would bind a ship, if it were in a big storm or something, to help hold it together, to keep it together. It was called frapping. That's that word, help. See? That's right. Isn't that something? That grace and that mercy. See, it's all grace. So you and I as saints, you and I belonging to God, let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy God's grace. Let's rely on God and less on ourselves. You know, less on our abilities, less on what we think, and more on what God thinks. And do it His way. We'll get blessed for it. Isn't that cool?
Very cool.
So, amen. All right.